And then we'll take up what we call the offering, which is just an opportunity to make a donation to the church. It's entirely voluntary. Psalm 62. As we're thinking about prayer, a particular aspect of prayer, a beautiful aspect of prayer, is that in prayer we pour out our hearts to God. And there's not a person in this building, from the youngest to the oldest, who couldn't understand this concept or couldn't use this manner of prayer. I think it's beautiful. Psalm 62, for the director of music, for Jeduthun. We know nothing else about him, I think, except his name. A psalm of David. We know some things about David, however. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence. It feels very insecure, like a tottering fence. Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath, the highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods, though your riches increase. Do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken. Two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. Let's take up the offering, as we contemplate those words, and then we'll think some more about them. Thank you. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that through Jesus you will now speak to us, that you will make these words live in our hearts, that you will bring our hearts and minds to life, that you will open them to let the light in, to let the truth in, so so that we may see their truth, their power, their relevance, their glory, their supreme importance for our lives. May we be those who know what it is to pour out our hearts to God, to tell you everything, to share everything with you, to hide nothing as if we could. Father, let these words be engraven on our hearts, and let them sing in our hearts and be strong. Help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. David was no wuss. He was no wimp. In his earlier life, David, of course, was a shepherd. That was no job for a wuss. David had to protect his sheep, and sometimes that meant killing bears, I think even lions. He had a sling, of course, famously used to bring down the 9-foot giant Goliath. Perhaps that's how he did it. But however you look at it, David was no wuss. Later in life, he was a hunted man. For many months, he was hunted by the most powerful army in the land, the army of the king, King Saul. He became a warrior, a very famous warrior. It was said David has slain his tens of thousands. He was no wuss, he was no wimp. You might even call him a man's man. But he was a guy who practiced pouring his heart out. And often that is considered to be not a masculine thing, to pour your heart out, to share everything. Often men are supposed to be those who keep it bottled up, who keep it inside, who say very little, who sulk rather than share. And we can be like that. David wasn't like that. He recommends that we pour out our hearts to God. We pour them out. We share everything with God. And I think David did this also with his friend Jonathan, of whom it is said that he had a love for Jonathan greater than the love that he had for any woman in his life. He had in Jonathan what the Puritans called a bosom friend, a really close companion, a really good friend. And I think that's incredibly important in life. Both to share with your spouse, but of course not to expect your spouse to be the be-all and end-all. I received a text this morning, an email this morning. I don't know where it came from. I think it came through the church website. A guy asking for us to pray, and he was hoping for thousands of Christians across the world to pray that he would find a soulmate. You wouldn't know him. So he sounds like he's from South America. His name is Chavez. Perhaps from Spain. He's obviously desperate to find a partner. He's 41 years old. Wants to find a soulmate. I'm not sure if the idea of a soulmate is exactly biblical. It's a bit more Hollywood than Bible, I think. A lot of our ideas about relationships come from Hollywood rather than Bible. For example, there is no Mr. Right. They're all Mr. Wrong. And Miss Wrong, for that matter. Because a sinner always marries a sinner. But, having said that, sorry for all the background noises. We need to find people with whom we can share and pour out our hearts. But even more so with God himself, this needs to be a part of your Christian life. And I really hope and pray that it is, and that if it hasn't been, that it will become, and that you will specially carve out times and spaces and places in your life where you can make this happen, where you can tell God everything that is in your mind and heart. I've quoted here from a great little book called Practical Prayer by Derek Prime, which was written probably 20 or 30 years ago, but still very, very good. I have a copy in the office. So let me read it to you. You've probably been through it already as I've been talking. The words are very good. As we pour out our hearts before God, like water, we completely transfer our cares, our anxieties, and our needs to Him. And that's what He wants. We're to empty our hearts before Him of everything that concerns and troubles us. We'd have no hang-ups about telling God everything. This lovely aspect of prayer reminds us of the intimacy of friendship, the freedom we may enjoy before our Heavenly Father. It's the opposite of bottling things up inside. Sadly, we can put a lock on our hearts, and then prayer ceases to be free and spontaneous. So as we're looking at prayer, I wanted to bring this aspect to you, that prayer means, amongst other things, it means pouring out your hearts before God. And David had found, and that's why he wrote it down, and that's why he recommends it to you people, I think as it says in this version, or O people as it says in the previous version. He recommends that you practice this because it will be good for you. Because it's what God wants. This is his recommendation. Why is it his recommendation? Well, he's experienced it. He's tasted it. And when you taste something that's good, when you experience something that's good, you want to share it. You want to say, look, you should try this. This is really good. This cake or this food sounds, smells, tastes fantastic. Fantastic. You doing anything about that, guys? Sorry, just a bit of a bump. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. He says, I've tasted this. Taste and see that God is good. I've experienced this peace in my soul. Literally, this says, truly, my soul is silent in God. Or, in the next part, my soul finds rest in God alone. Find rest, oh my soul, in God alone. Where's that? Five. Thank you, Roland. Yes, find rest. Yes, my soul is silent in God. He has a silent soul. I was thinking about that. What does that mean? A silent soul. A soul that's not always restless. Not always noisy and restless and full of those troubled and anxious thoughts. Struggling within us. David says, when I come to God and I pour it all out, I share all my anxieties, all my hopes, all my fears, all my dreams, all my longings, all my sins, all my anxieties, and I empty them out. I pour them out before God. He says, I find my soul experiences silence, rest, peace, contentment. And so he recommends it to us. He says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him. Do what I did. For God is our refuge. Anybody here could do that. Anybody. Anybody in there could do that. They could just tell God everything in their heart and mind. All the contents emptied out, cast upon God, poured out to him. It's a pretty simple, I'm not sure how long this message is going to last, because it's a pretty simple one. I'm just going to go round and round this idea of pouring out your hearts to God. And trusting him at all times. Of course, there's a connection, isn't there, with faith here. There's a connection with trust. David says, trust in him at all times, at all times. Maybe you're at a time in your life right now that's not so good, not so rosy, not so easy, not so smooth. The waters are not so calm. And naturally you think, God's let me down. God's disappointed me. God's not come through for me. Where are you, Lord? David says, hold on. then. Hold on. Trust in him at all times. And clearly he means in the bad times as well as the good times. Clearly he means in the bad times. David knew all about bad times. David knew all about bad times. Remember, he spent months as a hunted man, a fugitive, on the run from the army of Saul. If you know anything about his later life, his family life, after he commits adultery with Bathsheba and arranges for the assassination on the front line of Bathsheba's husband Uriah, both wicked things to do, and things in a sense that plagued him all his days, though he's free from them now, he's in paradise, that doesn't carry on into eternity. What happened was that it made his family life very dysfunctional, to use a modern word. Dysfunctional. He had a dysfunctional family. I must say, I find tremendous encouragement in some ways in how dysfunctional the families of godly men were in the Bible. There's all kinds of mess going on. In David's life, in Jacob's life, Abraham had his hang-ups, his problems, his difficulties. He made a mess of things. And these things are tremendously comforting in some ways for us, aren't they, as we also make a mess of things. And in some ways, every family and every relationship is broken. It's broken, it's messed up by sin, it's screwed up by sin. We all know that. So David knew all about difficult times. And this may well have been one of those times. I'm pretty sure it was. Because what he's doing is he's urging himself to find rest in God, the rest that he has known before, that he's experienced before when he's poured out his heart to God. And rather like in Psalm 103 where he says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless or praise his holy name." He's urging himself to get back to that place of praise. And here he's urging and encouraging himself, "Come on, my soul," to find that rest again, to find that peace, to find that contentment, to find that silence of soul. David knows all about difficulties. You can see his insecurity, can't you? Verse 3, he has enemies. He has people giving him pain, and he thinks of himself as a leaning wall about to fall over, about to collapse, or a tottering fence. He's very shaky. But he has a God who is a rock, rock solid. He has a God who's a fortress. He has a God who's a safe place, a refuge. And with and in this God, he will never be shaken. "Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place." David's kingship was almost continuously under attack from his own family. People like Absalom, the son with the long flowing hair, the very handsome guy, Absalom, whose hair actually became his downfall when he got caught in a tree and he was run through with a sword. Anyway, another story. It was a colorful but very messy family life that David had. So David is just saying to us, look, you people out there, you people in the assembly, you people in the congregation, you people of Israel, you people of the new Israel, the true Israel, the Jews and the Gentiles who come to Jesus are now the true and the new Israel of God. Pour out your hearts to him. Because when you do that, you'll discover a refuge. You'll discover a safe place. You'll discover a security. You'll discover a contentment. And I urge you, rather like David, to think back to those times when you've done that. I think probably that every believer in this room has done what David did. They have poured out their hearts. They have set apart a time, perhaps a place, a space in their lives where they have just come to him, perhaps on your knees, on your face, sitting on your chair, doesn't matter, the posture doesn't matter. But the posture of your heart matters. And you've just emptied all the contents of your heart and mind before God, your dreams, your hopes, your fears, your anxieties, and said, Lord, this is how it is. And so in another psalm, Psalm 142, I think, David puts it this way. And this might help you as well. I think it's 142. Yes, it is. He says, and this is one of those times when he is being hunted on the run from Saul. When he was in the cave, we're told his location, his situation in the italics at the top. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. Tell him your trouble. Go to God. Tell him your trouble. Christians, brothers and sisters, do this. Do this on a regular basis. Tell God all your troubles, all the things in your heart and mind. Just tell him. Just talk to him. Just pour it out. Just empty it out. Just cast your cares on the Lord. And he will sustain you. Psalm 55:22. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He'll uphold you. He'll bear you up. He'll strengthen you. He'll carry you through. I cry aloud to the Lord. I think the Bible would also recommend that when you do this, you speak out loud. Now, we can, of course, pray mentally. We can pray in our minds with our imaginations. We don't have to speak words, excuse me, audibly, necessarily to pray. You can pray wherever you are in a just a mental way in your mind without expressing it with your voice. But praying vocally, I wonder if praying vocally has a special a power about it. It makes prayer more lively, more real. Now, I know it's not always easy to find a place where you can cry aloud to the Lord. But if you can, it's fantastic. And some people will do this. You know, one of the advantages of having such noisy streets and having so many people with earphones talking to themselves is that you can pretty much walk along Bow Road or Stratford High Street or anywhere like it in London or East London, and you can almost cry aloud to the Lord in prayer without any embarrassment because everybody else is either listening to their earphones, they can't hear you because of the traffic, or they're talking to somebody, anybody, in any way with their mobile phones. But I would recommend this. If you can find a place, a time and a place where you can audibly talk to God, really there's a special power about that. James talks about the tongue in James 3. He talks about it very negatively. He says it's like a tiny spark that can create a forest fire of trouble. You say the wrong thing. You make a careless remark. It sets things alight and causes all kinds of trouble. But maybe the power of the tongue can also work the other way. It's like a small rudder, he says, that can control the direction of a whole ship, a huge tanker, a liner. Maybe as we pray to God, whereas, as it were, even when you come to God and you don't really want to talk to him, I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like praying today. I don't want to pray. We often feel like that. Maybe as those words, as we take those words, as we determine that we will pray, the spoken words themselves turn our minds like the great ship that turns, the tanker that turns just with the tiny rudder. And they change the direction, the flow of our thoughts. I do recommend what I think the Bible often points to and recommends, crying aloud, calling, speaking audibly to God in prayer. If you can find a place, a space, a time to do that without great embarrassment, perhaps even with great embarrassment,
I do recommend that. I remember a lady telling me, a really godly old Scottish lady who lived in the last part of her life in Bristol, and I knew her there. She'd been brought up in a Presbyterian church in Scotland. She remembered one time going out into the fields, just for fun, I suppose, mucking around, and she overhears this old man, this old saint, praying. And she hides behind the wall and listens to his prayer. He's praying out loud. He's pouring his heart out to God in the field. He's like Isaac, who we're told in Genesis 24, I think, went out to the field to meditate. He got away from everything and everyone. He went to the fields. Now, I know there's not a lot of fields around here. It could be a problem. We do have parks, but they're fairly busy parks. But sometimes you can find a spot. It's not so easy here. In the past, I've used golf courses and beaches. They're wonderful places to pray. Or if you have a car, it's just you in the car, that can also be a wonderful place just to pray, to pour out your heart to the Lord. Now, not everybody has a car, so that's not so easy. But if you can find somewhere where you can really pray and engage with God, if like Jacob wrestling by the brook, you can take everything you have to God and spend some quality and quantity time with him, could make all the difference. Could make all the difference to your lives. Pour out your hearts, your complaints, your troubles, your praises, your sins. Confess your sins. Bring it all to him. Isn't it astonishing that the God who created a billion stars, more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand. I've told you this too many times, probably. More stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on all the beaches in the earth. Wow. The God who created that, the God who calls them by name, is interested in all the little details of your life. All the little details of your life. He wants to hear them. He wants you to pour them out. He wants you to cast all your cares on him. And so let me just remind you of one or two other promises in the Bible alongside these ones. Psalm 55:22, as I've said, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. That means he'll make you strong. That means he'll carry you through. That means he'll give you what you need to carry the responsibilities of the day. He will sustain you. Or 1 Peter 5:7, beautiful words these. Cast all. Here's Peter the fisherman who knew what it was to cast a net into the sea with some vigor, some energy, some force. Cast all your anxiety on him. Throw it onto God, off yourself and onto him. Cast it all on him because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. And then finally, those words in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Words with a wonderful promise. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, every situation, good or bad. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. May take a while for your spirit to warm up to that, but with thanksgiving, present by prayer. Did I say prayer and petition? I can't remember where I am now. But with prayer and petition, thanks guys, you're helping me. Present your requests to God. Present your requests. Just tell him what you need. Present your request. Lord, here, I need this, I need that. Please give me this, please give me that. Present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends, which passes all understanding. It's a supernatural peace. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard. It's a secure peace. Supernatural and secure. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guard your hearts. It's going to be secure. It's not going to be easily broken. It's not like the sleepy English country village, and suddenly the noisy motorbike roars to rum, and the peace is shattered in a moment. It's a secure peace. It lasts. It survives the stresses and storms of life, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we long for? That peace of mind that is real and secure and strong, a refuge, a fortress, a mighty rock, a strong, safe place, a secure heart, never to be shaken. This is what David found in God. This is what he recommends to us. Oh, people, pour out your hearts to him. Pour them out. Share everything. Hold nothing back. Hide nothing from him. How could you? He knows it all anyway. Have no hang-ups about telling him everything. Bring it all to him. Your worries for this week. Your concerns about your health. Your concerns about your finances. Your future. Your spouse. Your family. Your children. Your friends. Your neighbors. Whatever it is. Whatever's in there. Pour it out. Share it. Empty it out before him. Cast it on the Lord. Because he cares for you. And he can help you. Be like David. And the last thought that comes to me, the last thought, is that Jesus did exactly the same thing. Jesus, the Son, the very Son of God. And I think it was Dee who mentioned this in one of our discussions. Hebrews 5:7. Perhaps we think of the prayer life of Jesus as a kind of a cozy chat between the Father and the Son. And I'm sure there were times when it was like that. Just wonderful times of quiet, restful communion with God, with the Father. But there were also times of great, well, it says here, loud cries and tears, or fervent cries and tears, loud in the previous version. Hebrews 5:7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, so not just during Gethsemane. An extreme example of this would be Gethsemane, not just in those 3 years of his ministry, but during the days of his life, those 33 years, perhaps even as a child, he offered up prayers and petitions. Petitions just means requests, just things that he wanted and needed. With fervent cries or loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. There it is, you see, it's in Jesus. Jesus is pouring his heart out. He's sweating sweat like great drops of blood in Gethsemane. That's the extreme. But throughout his life, he's doing that. He's praying to God in that way. He's pouring out his heart before the Lord. And as followers of Jesus, we need to do no less. Make it part of your life, your experience. Build in or carve out times and places and spaces where you can do this. If you're carrying all kinds of anxieties and troubles and feelings of pressure in your heart at the moment, the Bible would say, get alone somewhere with God and do this. Pour it out. Give it to him. Cast it upon him. Transfer all your cares and worries. Completely transfer them. As we sometimes say, turn your cares into prayers. Heard that one, right? Turn your cares into prayers. Just those anxieties, just turn them into prayers. And empty your hearts before him. Do that. And begin to experience something of the relief and the release and the sense that God is dealing with these things with you and even for you. Carrying you. I urge you to do that. I used to have a sense, I don't know if even I do it as much as I used to, but I used to have a sense that when I really poured out my heart to God and brought all of these things to him that were happening in my life, that they were, the word that came to me over and over again was they were covered. They were covered. God had them covered. Covered. That I didn't have to worry about them anymore, because when they came, they were covered. They were covered by his grace. Emptying out our hearts before God, asking for his involvement, his grace to be upon us. But what a great sense of rest it brought to David and also to Jesus and to Paul and so on, to all the saints of God. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. O people, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. That's all I'm going to say. Let's pray. O Father, how we need your peace in our hearts. We need this rest of which David speaks. May we be those who regularly lift up our voices, cry aloud to the Lord, pour out our hearts to you. Surely, Lord, you put us deliberately in situations where we need to cry to you. Surely you engineer the events of our lives in such a way, you control and work things together in such a way that we really feel our need of you. Where all we can do is just to cry out to you. Surely this is how you change us, you mold us, you reshape us like the potter with the clay. Father, if we're in that situation now, if we're in trouble, if we are down, if we are depressed, if we are sad, if we are troubled or anxious, doubtless there are people in this room who are. Very soon we pray that these people will be given the grace, the inspiration to get alone with you and to pour out their hearts to you. And then we pray to receive something of that peace of mind and heart that is promised, that guards the heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Let this be not just words, Lord, but experience. May we taste and see that you are good. May we experience your rest and your peace in our hearts and lives today as we pour out our hearts to you. We pray in Jesus' name.